If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right, we're staying with budget matters. Earlier, I spoke to the Gauteng MEC for Finance, Lebogang Maile, talking about the budget. Obviously, he delivered the budget today, 171 billion rand, big allocations to education and health. And of course, promises of improved service delivery, which takes me to my next topic. We're looking at this, at this budget. Promises of improved service delivery, economic growth and job creation. This budget lays out ambitious plans for the Gauteng province. But the key question remains, is this budget on the right track to truly address the challenges that Gauteng faces? I did put this question to the MEC. And of course, lots going to happen. And again, lots of promises. We'll have to wait and see whether that actually translates to movement on the ground. Today, we'll dive into how all of this is going to happen. I'm joined now by Mialeni Holeni. He is a group chief advisor at Intieso Consulting Group. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Good evening, Sumitra, and good evening to the listeners.
So I'm not too sure if you heard my interview with Lebogang Maile talking about the budget. Obviously, you would have seen the budget. Lots of promises coming through in that budget. And not that we haven't heard them before. We're hearing a few new things about the, a new investment conference that's going to happen. And apparently lots going on behind the scenes. Lots of developments which we should hear about in the coming months. But what are your thoughts on how we actually attack these service delivery problems that we have in the province?
Yeah, I think where the issues are in terms of, the budget, of Gauteng is the fact that 95% of the budget of Gauteng comes from the fiscus, which only leaves about 5% coming from their own sources. That, I think, sets, the field, for how they are going to navigate the landscape of delivering services. Of course, we know that, the health system in Gauteng has been struggling. And in fact, countrywide, we have a struggle in terms of the health systems being able to function optimally, to be able to take care of the sick, as well as, at least to prevent, illnesses and so on. The other aspect, is around education. When the finance minister laid down the budget or tabled the budget earlier last week, he spoke about, 76% of the budget, going into employee costs and the balance, only going into the rest of what education should be and so on. So in terms of, service delivery from a Gauteng or a provincial point of view, they would face, the same challenges as the rest of the other provinces, or even mirror it with the municipality. So it is something that they need to generate their own revenue to be able to increase the pace of service delivery, because the bulk of what's apportioned from the fiscus goes into mainly the wage bill.
Absolutely. I mean, and now they're getting the increase, the 5.5%. The public sector wage bill is huge, looking at this nationally. But when you talk about, the revenue pressures, how then do we address this? What can the province do to actually improve this? The bulk, as you say, is coming from the National Treasury, and they're only raising about 5% of their own. So how do they actually improve on the situation?
Well, I think what the MSC has aptly outlined is revenue coming from gambling licenses or the gambling activities in terms of licensing various operators. That is one aspect, not positive, because it falls, under the, if you want, the sin taxes, if I may put it in those terms. But the other aspect is that, with provincial governments, also having access or owning their own properties through public works, that provides, an auction. Gauteng a while ago had started, bold initiatives around the Blue IQ, where they were setting up a number of provincial owned entities the likes of the Innovation Hub and many other institutions which were supposed to be forerunners with regards to economic development. So a province needs to pay a lot more attention around economic development activity. We see in the budget, you know, however, that, you know, only about 22.6 million is going to special economic zones, which the inverse, you know, should have been true, that, you know, the money that is going into various areas should at least be flowing into special economic zones. We know the motor city in terms of, you know, north of city of Tswane in the northern area. We know of the number of other initiatives that are sitting within the province which would require a support, you know, to get them going, because the Gauteng has to industrialize and it's the industrial hub of South Africa. So therefore manufacturing in terms of Ekurhuleni, in terms of the city of Tswane, and the other corners, we know the mining activity has declined, but we need to be industrializing and taking advantage of the mineral outputs that are coming through, as well as manufacturing of different, you know, products. So a lot of it, you know, should be going into economic development activity, as well as incentives. I think incentives to attract big multinationals that would come and set their factories in Gauteng. It would become an advantage for them to be able to generate, you know, income from that kind of activity, which comes on the back of attracting business, back on the back of manufacturing, back on the back of licenses that, you know, they would be issuing out and facilitating for at least, you know, big business to come in, as well as, you know, to look at the startups, you know, that should be supported through the innovation fund that was announced earlier as well in the SONA.
Well, he did also announce an investment conference that's going to take place next month to attract 800 billion rand over the next 5 years. And this could actually strengthen municipal revenues as well. He didn't give us too much detail about the projects on whether they are fixed investments, you know, as you say, building manufacturing plants, something that would grow and increase revenues on an ongoing basis, right? But that seems to be moving in the right direction.
It's a positive one. And I think, you know, being the first, you know, for Gauteng, we are aware of, you know, nationally, the president has hosted a number of investment conferences with a measure of success. Limpopo has done so. So I think Gauteng coming into the fray brings, you know, options for investors who are wanting to use Gauteng as a stepping stone into the rest of the provinces, or even as a gateway to the to Africa through the Africa Free Trade Continental Agreements that are in place. So in this case, I think, you know, the attraction of, you know, such, you know, revenues or investment is one that, you know, would at least guarantee that there is there are investors who come into give confidence to the economy of Gauteng, but they also need to look at the renewal of the city center. Of course, you may argue that, you know, it belongs to the city of Johannesburg, but such investment needs to look, you know, more than just building new infrastructure, but also to look at, you know, existing infrastructure and to support those initiatives. So in the city, in the municipalities or the cities that are in Gauteng, which are three cities of Ekurhuleni, Tswane, as well as the city of Johannesburg, I think those are the triangle that requires significant investment to be able to pick up their activity. So it's positive that there is an investment conference. However, it's a bidding conference where investors must come with projects that are ready. And those projects would require any kind of red tape to be eliminated or to be cut, such that they can get, you know, to be able to tend the sword for those particular projects.
Rightly so. I mean, there's just so many projects on the go that you mentioned. There's so many avenues to take. But the red tape, the inefficiencies, it's just holding us back.
I think back to the issue of what the National Treasury is running as Operation Vulindlela. There are a number of bottlenecks in terms of, you know, and I think from a provincial point of view, those bottlenecks actually translate in the way that, you know, a province must be able to give a grant, you know, permission, or to sign off, you know, a particular license, or to sign off, you know, the environmental assessments, or to sign off a number of different things. And equally, the municipalities which are involved would also need to look at, you know, their SPLUMA processes, which go into looking at the land right, you know, usages and so on. So there actually are a number of institutions that would need to be aligned in order to drive that investment to be able to settle. I know of an example when I used to work, you know, in one of the municipalities where, for instance, you know, in attracting an investment, you know, you have to go through a number of sign-offs that have to line up to a point where at least an investor would be able to set foot on the ground and start, you know, building. Mm. And it's those aspects that, you know, would need to be ironed out. So an investment conference is great, but we also need to work on the back room such that the back room is able to facilitate all of these different things to the point where it does not take the 18 to 24 to 36 months, but it's a shortened period to be able to set, you know, foot, at least, you know, to establish an entity with CIPC is quicker. But, you know, the rest of it, you know, in terms of, you know, approvals would need to also be ironed out such that, you know, they are aligned, and to have, you know, some kind of a cooperation or collaboration between province and the municipalities to be able to fast track those investments. So the Operation Vulindlela in terms of in provinces is also required, because it must be able to unlock any of the potential blockages that are there by right and by legislation.
Okay. And then just one more project that we're looking at, the Gauteng-Limpopo Railway project.
Well, I think as well, you know, the Gauteng-Limpopo, you know, the rail project, a positive project, huge project. You can then understand that it's going to traverse a number of municipalities. We can understand the difficulties that were there when the Gautrain was being built just in the Gauteng province, where it had to traverse, you know, almost two or three municipalities, as well as homeowners where we need to negotiate. There's also going to be environmental impact assessments that, you know, must be taken into account. There are geotechs that must be done to make sure of the suitability. There could be also be drilling. So you can imagine that we're bracing ourselves for a huge project. Of course, the economics of it, if you look at, you know, the number of buses that go up and down the N1 on a daily basis, the number of taxis, the number of vehicles, the economics of it, you know, do stack up. But it's a massive project which at least must be undertaken within a period of time that's going to bring back the return. Because the Gautrain itself as well, in terms of, you know, where it is, the Gauteng province had to come in and recapitalize the Mbombela, the operator, so that, you know, to keep the project afloat. So you have those inherent risks in such big projects, but those are at least projects that South Africa should be undertaking. Perhaps, you know, the other one is to look at, you know, Gauteng to KZN or to Durban in terms of, you know, how you can have a fast, you know, train going up and down. But of course, you know, that project, you know, requires, you know, syndication of funds, and a huge mobilization of capital that must go into that. And of course, you know, the expertise, but no doubt, you know, from the construction to the operation, the job creation can be significant.
Like you say, I mean, there's so many projects on the go. We're not short of these projects and, you know, that can actually raise revenue. And it seems like we're not short of investors either. I think we just need to make sure that we cut out the red tape, make it more efficient and ensure that when people come to build, they are ready to go.
Of course, I think what we've seen last week with the president entertaining the European Union representatives, you know, who have pledged, I think, about north of, you know, 5 billion euros or even more going forward into the economy, that is positive. Mm. So we're not necessarily short of investors. I think what we have been short of is the ability to plan those projects and package them in such a way that they are appealing and they have all of the sign-offs that are required. And we have at least ironed out, you know, the risk factors that would impact the project. So in terms of financing, there are a number of financial institutions that are at least lurking around down to look for new projects, knowing that, you know, our shores in terms of South Africa, the returns can be higher because of our higher interest rates, which would be better invested in our economy or emerging markets such as ours, you know, as opposed to the European setting where they are earning in the region of about 2%, whereas they can earn double digits in terms of, you know, the projects financing that they would come up with within the African setting and within the South African setting as well.
Mayalani, thank you so much for your time this evening. Mayalani Holeni, Group Chief Advisor at Intieso Consulting Group.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.